This is the City Surgery.
The City Surgery.
Expert advice for the cost of a phone call.
The City Surgery.
With Will Batchelor.
On City Talk 105.9.
City
Surgery.
City Talk 105.9, this is the voice of Liverpool with me, Will Batchelor, joining you for another week of City Surgeries. That is the show that takes place between now and 1 o'clock every weekday, in which I am joined by an expert brain from across Liverpool or Merseyside who is here to answer your questions and help you out. Today on a Monday, as ever, it's our gadget guru, Mr. Gary Miller. He works in computers. He loves computers. He buys technology. He obsesses with it night and day. I'm not even sure he ever sleeps. I think he just probably plugs himself into some kind of iPod charger, which downloads more and more information about the world of technology into his ever-expanding brain. And if you want to tap into that brain, all you need to do is call him up. 0151 708 1059 is the number. You may have a question about which computer to buy to suit your needs best. You may be having some trouble with the technology in your life. Maybe your printer's jammed. Maybe you can't work out how to transfer photos from your phone onto your computer, or how to transfer music from your record player onto your computer back to your iPod. Anything technological, Gary is here to help. 0151 708 1059 is the number. You can text as well, 61025. Start your message with the word talk, leave a space, and you can email surgery at citytalk.fm. Whether it's a computer, a laptop, a camera, or some kind of gadget that we've never heard of, then give us a try. And of course, if Gary can't answer your question, we actually have a growing cavalry of listeners who will ride to the rescue and say, I know what you need to do. You need to do this, that, or the other. So don't be shy. Join in. We're here until 1 o'clock. Gary, how are you?
I'm very well. You made me sound like Beaker from The Muppets before, with that expanding brain and all things computing. I suppose I do look a bit like Beaker. I've got a high forehead. I was soaked today. One gadget I forgot to bring out with me was an umbrella. That would have kept me dry.
I'm surprised your precious BlackBerry doesn't tell you when it's going to rain and provide you with one, because you're always going on about how good it is, aren't you?
No, yeah, I keep saying, I mean, the BlackBerry's all right. The BlackBerry Storm, the touch screen one. But do you know what? It's got a term. It's called clunky software. Mm. My big fat fingers keep pressing the wrong buttons. I'm not the biggest fan ever of the BlackBerry Storm. It's a good machine, but actually the original one with proper keys is much, much better.
What about the iPhone? Because you're always talking about iPhone applications.
I love the iPhone.
Is there an application for the iPhone where it turns into an umbrella yet?
Well, actually, I was just looking at one before. They've actually got an iPod to operate a computer, and they've got iPods that actually operate things on fridges. What they do on fridges, I have no idea, but apparently it's to do with telling you've got no milk left. So there are applications out there on the iPod that do wonderful things.
So you can get an application on the iPod telling you when you've got... Sorry, on the iPhone, telling you when you've got
low
levels of milk.
Yeah. But why would you bother? Most people would just open the door and look inside and go, oh, look, I've got no milk left.
I've got an application for that. And bizarrely, that starts with I as well. It's called My Eyes.
Well, very good.
Had it for a while. Right, we're going to get onto some news shortly, Gary. What's hot and what's not. Quite excited to hear about Jog, which is something that's been invented in Liverpool and sold around the world. Also, Vodafone, we heard this week, have abolished their mobile phone roaming charges. So we'll find out a little bit more about that as well. Plus your deal of the week, of course, and what's not hot. Before we do that, let's crack on with the first question of the day. Joe is in the city centre. He has called in on 0151 708 1059. Hiya, Joe. Hello there, you're on the air. What's going on?
Yes, thank you. Gary, I was just wondering, you know, a keyboard, you know, you get them for coppers, but this one cost me £80. Hmm. And just the odd key sticking, is there anything I can do to, you know...
Well, you could do what my office did, is basically peel the keys off and then try and clean it with some water, which they actually ran underneath the tap. It doesn't work. Do not do that.
No, that's...
Well, you can take the keys off, most keyboards, but I don't know your one, so I don't know if you can actually physically prise them off. And you can prise them off and then prise them back on again, or push them back.
And clean them with...
With ether. I get ether. I get a cotton wool bud,
get
some ether, and actually go around the keys that way. And that will clean it out.
Because a decent keyboard, and I'm used to it, you know what I mean?
Why did it cost you £80? Is it like Is it wireless as well? Does it link wirelessly to your computer? Has it got a cable on it?
I think we might have lost
him. Oh, we might have lost him. Oh, dear.
Maybe he's got a sticky phone as well as a sticky keyboard.
Ether and cotton buds. That would clean it.
I'm glad we got to the answer quickly on that one.
Otherwise, we did indeed.
It'd have gone away. Joe, I hope that answers your question. It's about eating, isn't it? Keyboards are the most revolting places. I think I read somewhere about 6 months ago that there's more germs living around the average keyboard than there is around the average toilet seat. Because, of course, toilets, we clean them with bleach and we take that quite seriously. Keyboards, they'll be fine. Eat a sandwich on them, a bit of ham drops down between the Q and the U. Never mind, doesn't matter. And it builds up in this horrible sort of germ-ridden environment.
Well, it must be a big bit of ham if it drops between the Q and the U.
You know what? I saw you looking down at the keyboard then. I thought I was lining me up for something here. All right, the Q and the W, QWERTY.
Yeah, I should
know by now where the letters fit.
But you are right. It is a filthy habit. You should never drink or eat over a keyboard. And it's not just for health reasons. It's actually just happened before. You know, it damages the keyboard. Mm. And £80 worth, it can you ruin it completely?
What I do occasionally, and this may help Joe as well if he doesn't want to go through the rigmarole of prising keys off and cleaning it with ether, is I just get the keyboard and I shake it upside down. It's amazing what comes out. It's very revolting, but it is amazing. Mm. Of course, you could hoover it as well, couldn't you?
You could hoover it. You could actually get those little small hoovers from places like the Riverside Retail Park in one of those computer stores, because they actually have those little vacuums that clean out the keyboards. And you can also get them online by going to www.cpc.co.uk, and they have the little vacuum cleaners.
If you have a question for Gary, you can do what Joe in the city centre did, 0151 708 1059. Doesn't matter if it can be about a computer, it can be about, I don't know, a camera, it could be about a camcorder, a mobile phone, perhaps a laptop, anything techie and specky. Gary is your man, 0151 708 1059. The text screen's going mad as well, 61025 is the text number. You start your message, please, with the word talk, otherwise I won't see it and we won't be able to help. Or you can email surgery@citytalk.fm. Someone has texted in. This one's sort of, it cuts off halfway through, and it says, I've missed the last 2 weeks of the gadget surgery. I went onto iTunes, but I couldn't find the latest podcasts. I was just wondering if they were put on. Do you know what? I think with the break in service that we had on the City Surgery, I think we need to get back on track with the podcast.
Please.
So apologies for that if you couldn't find them. As of today, I will make sure that the City Surgery goes on iTunes. So if you're listening to this now and you have to go into work, or if you want to tell a friend about it, whatever it is, I know it's a very popular one, go to iTunes, go to the sort of technological bit, and you will find us there, and I will make sure that today's
show... We're called City Tech, T-E-C-H, on iTunes. And so you search for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you download it onto your iPod or MP3 player, and I shall make sure it goes on there. So thank you for reminding me. Right. Lee has also texted in. He says, all right, Will and Gary, my car radio is very crackly. I've just got a new one, and that's the same. The CD player is perfectly clear. I'm just wondering if I can get some sort of booster for a car radio. Okay, so, well, that's the first question, but Gary, is there something that you would try before?
It sounds as though the CD player existed already before the car radio, the new one, was put in. So, is the CD player in there now and has always been there? Mm. And has he just replaced the radio? And if he's just replaced the radio, it sounds to me nothing to do with an aerial. It might be, because I was going to say it must be the speakers, because speakers normally crackle if they're not linked up correctly. But the CD player works, so it's not that. Mm. It might be that the connections that link the car radio to the car itself could be loose. So I would get that checked out. I'd pop along to maybe Halfords, who actually will fit these things for you, and get them to check your cabling. If you didn't get it from Halfords, then you can't do that. But that's what I would do. Now, getting a... crackly isn't the same as getting a bad signal. Because you wouldn't normally get a crackly signal. You would just get it sort of breaking up now and then, but it wouldn't sound like cracks. So I'm coming back to the fact it's probably more likely to be his wiring in the car between the new radio, the old radio, and the car itself. So I would get that checked out. I would also make sure... Now, some cars, the radio aerial is actually in the windscreen. You don't see it. Now, is it an old car or is it a new car? Is there an aerial that sticks out of the bonnet, out the boot, out the roof? Is it pulled all the way out? Is there a bad connection with that? Get that checked. You can get boosters. You go down to Halfords, and I'm sure they've got one that they would fix for you. So have a look. And there are other people to look at, not just Halfords, but I know the fact that they'll do it for you when you buy it.
Sure.
So go down and get some advice from them. It sounds to me as it might be faulty wiring rather than it being the radio itself. The signal itself.
It's funny because people often buy boosters for TVs, don't they? Particularly if you live in a poor reception area for TV. But I don't think, and I could be corrected on this, I don't think there are any particular areas in the UK that are poor for radio, because radio is a lot easier to transmit and to pick up. You know, you can go right out into the wilds and you will pick up a local station.
Or you'll pick up 105.9 FM up in Cumbria. I've done it up in Carlisle.
Yeah, you can do. The proof is out there. Thank you for that question, Lee. I hope that answers you. By the way, Pyman, who is one of our regular correspondents, hello, Pyman, he's in North Wales, has texted 61025 with a comment. You can do that too. Start it with the word talk. He says, I saw a fully washable, dishwasher-safe keyboard on firebox.com. Good day. So there you go. That relates to Joe's question. I can imagine you being quite fastidious, Gary, about cleanliness. And I can imagine you going home right now and swapping all of your keyboards for dishwasher-safe keyboards.
No.
No?
No. It's too much hassle.
Really?
And it's expensive. I'm Scottish. I only want to spend £2, £2 on a keyboard. That's all they are. They're just useful little things. If it doesn't go, it doesn't work, throw it out and get another one in. I mean, if it's £80, you wouldn't do that. But, you know, these days you can... The keyboards I use the QWERTY bits. And that's all. I don't use special keys. And they are only £8. You plug them into the computer, they work perfectly every time. And you've just reminded me I need to get a new battery for my wireless keyboard. I do have a wireless keyboard. It's got no cables and it just talks to the machine. But I noticed this morning, it's almost at the last blip. So normally it's 6 blips, it's at the very last one. It's got 1 blip up, which means it needs a new battery.
Can't you just recharge it?
No, it's not that kind. You can recharge some. You can recharge mice and you can recharge some keyboards. In my case, no.
Do you know, I saw something advertised. I'm getting off topic for a second, but it is still technological. So strictly speaking, I'm allowed to say this on the City Surgery on a Monday about gadgets. You can buy something for your phone that's like a fuel gauge for the battery. So it looks like a petrol fuel gauge. It's got a needle and it goes from green when it's perfectly full right down to red when it's empty, and it's like a fun way of checking how much battery you've got left.
Is it the size of a mobile phone? Is it a separate thing?
It fills the screen on your mobile phone.
Okay.
So it's an application that you download onto your mobile phone to show you. And I thought, well, that's a bit of fun. It's a bit pointless. I wouldn't do it, but if I was 15, I might be impressed. And they said it costs from £4.50 a week.
Oh, behave yourself.
To have this kind of fun petrol needle gauge thing to show
my phone has got a little battery gauge that just tells me if it's going
flat. Yeah, of course. I mean, they all do.
My
phone doesn't cost me £4.50 a week, let alone paying £4.50 a week for a thing that that looks like a petrol gauge.
I would call that a rip-off.
I would call it a rip-off as well. I think we're agreed on that. At last, we can find something to agree on. We still haven't even got close to starting what's hot and what's not, and I really want to do that, Gary, because there's some interesting topics that you're raising this week, including talking of crackling. The old swine flu, how to get swine flu in flu online. We will do that, I promise. But I'm just thinking if there's any more questions. And I tell you what, let's just refresh ourselves on the numbers. It's 0151 708 1059 is the number to call if you want to ask Gary a question. 61025 is the text number. Start it with the word talk. Leave a space. Emails come into surgery@citytalk.fm. Let's kick off with what's hot. Otherwise, I'll forget, Gary. What have you got for us this week?
Well, I've got a couple, but let's go to the first. Vodafone last Thursday abolished mobile roaming charges. Now, that would make no sense if you never take your phone abroad and use it in Spain. But if you've been to Spain, you've taken your phone with you.
Or indeed any other foreign
country. Any other country at all. And then you come back and you've been on the phone to your mum, your dad, your girlfriend, whoever, and you get the phone bill and it's £300. And in fact, one of my friends went to Dubai, got back, it was £800.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. And that was Vodafone. And the reason being is these things called roaming mobile charges or mobile roaming charges. Now, just for example, Vodafone charge 38 pence a minute to talk to somebody when you're in Spain, for example, or any other country. And the cost to send a text message is 25 pence. Now, That's ridiculous. If you have a Vodafone passport, there's a 75 pence connection charge, and then the standard UK rate thereafter. So you might be spending about 20 pence on top of the 75, as 20 pence a minute. They've actually scrapped that because people were getting seriously fed up with it, and Ofcom were looking at actually charging them a fine for overcharging people because, you know what, it's Europe and it's wireless technology and it's all these satellites, and you use the same satellite to talk to somebody in Widnes as you would perhaps in Spain. So why are they charging you more money? Now, it is to do with going through their telephone systems in those countries, but since Vodafone have taken over basically every mobile phone operator that exists in Europe, for example, and in fact also one in America, then it's the same company. So the same, that one company is getting all the profits. So as I say, last Thursday they've actually abolished it. So when you go back, you go abroad, what you pay in the UK is what you pay when you go abroad.
Great news, and I am glad, and no one likes being ripped off, me included, but it does kind of open up a wider topic of discussion, doesn't it, Gary? Which is, you know, we've become so pathetically attached to our mobile phones, almost by kind of an unseen, umbilical cord to them, that we can't possibly be separated from them. I remember one of the beauties of going abroad for 2 weeks was that you'd go and you really wouldn't know what was going on back home. You'd come back and, you know, some politician had resigned and something had happened on the EastEnders and one or two of your mates had split up or got together or whatever it was. And it just felt wonderful to sort of go out and leave the country behind and then come back into it. Now, it seems that the reason people were getting charged so much is that they can't resist phoning home, when actually 9 times out of 10, there's no reason to.
Yeah, but most people now, when they go abroad, don't just phone home for general updates back there. They want to show off. They want to send you that MMS message about somebody lying on the beach or some beautiful scenery. They want to make you jealous about what they're getting whilst they're away.
Well, you deserve to be charged for that. There should be some kind of boasting tax.
Boasting tax. $2.5 billion text messages sent every year in Europe, and that actually brings in about 800 million euros.
And I tell you
what,
that's
a lot of money.
I tell you where I find my mobile phone most helpful when I do go abroad, and here's me being pathetically attached to it. If you go on a stag do, it's imperative that at least one person in every group has a working mobile phone, just because you inevitably get split up. You inevitably, some people will get into one bar, another group won't. Some people will get caught up somewhere, the others won't. And the number of times it's all fallen apart because you've all got mobiles, but then you try and use them and one of them's got a bar on it because it's from work and someone else hasn't paid their bill, so that one doesn't work. So I think the lack of roaming charges will probably help stag do's in European countries go a lot better as well.
Let's put that on the advertising.
Absolutely, yeah.
It'll help stag do's.
And just before we take a break, Gary, just tell us about Jog, something that's been invented in Liverpool and sold around the world.
I actually went to the launch of Software City in the Radisson Hotel last Thursday, and it was fascinating. And in fact, I won't say who it is, but there's a new lady who's joining the Dragon's Den as one of the speakers. So this is a proper Dragon's Den,
right,
with Duncan Bannatyne and Peter Jones, etc. This lady, she was in Liverpool launching Software City. And one of the success stories of Liverpool was mentioned at that launch.
Right.
And it was Jog. I had never heard of it.
What is it? Is it running?
Well, it's not running, but it's linked to running. Hmm. Basically, it's an attachment for the PlayStation 3, or Nintendo, for the Wii. And basically, you plug your nunchuck into it, if you know what a nunchuck is.
Isn't that what ninjas throw at people?
Possibly, yeah, when you're doing your Wii fitness things or whatever. But there are some games, not every games, there are some games that can be controlled by this Jog. So if you want further information, I will talk about it now, but further information, www.jog2play, that's jog2play.co.uk.
I'm just reading the Gumpf
the Gumpf.
Yeah, you know what I mean, the details about it. And it's basically something that you clip to your belt when you're in a game and you're playing a certain character. You clip this to your belt and start playing the games new, so it can kind of sense your body motions.
Virtual reality.
So if you throw a punch, your character throws a punch.
But not only that, you could be running or jogging and you could stop, and it stops with you on the screen. But then you could turn round and face you, like almost like a mirror image, and it will turn round to face you as well. So actually, whatever you do, it moves as well. which there's nothing else doing that out there. The interesting thing is, I think it came out in March, and they've sold over 750,000 of them already.
Fantastic. That's great news.
That's great news for Liverpool.
Absolutely right. Right, OK. Also great news for Liverpool is the fact that Gary Miller is here until 1 o'clock today. And if you want to ask him a question, 015 1708 1059, anything about technology. The text is 61025. Start it with the word talk. And you can email surgery at citytalk.fm. Talk 105.9. This is The Voice of Liverpool with me, Will Batchelor, joining you every weekday between 12 and 1 for a fun-packed City Surgery. If you're new to the station, welcome. I like to sound like a vicar when I do that. Welcome to City Talk 105.9. What happens on this show is that every weekday between 12 and 1, I have a new expert in the chair, and they come back week in, week out to dispense their wisdom to you. So today is all about technology. It's gadget guru Gary Miller in the hot seat. And if you are being troubled by the technology in your life, maybe you can't work out something to do with your computer or your printer or your phone or your iPhone or your iPod, then give Gary a bell and he will be able to help you out. And if he can't, then one of our listeners, I'm sure, will fill the breach. 0151 708 1059. If you want to come on air, 61025 is the text number. Start it with the word talk. Email surgery at citytalk.fm. A few comments and stuff coming in. I also want to press on later, Gary, with your list of what's hot and what's not, 'cause I'm quite excited about this video and photo frame that's connected. And also, your deal of the week is quite interesting on this week.
It does indeed, yeah.
I do like that, so we'll talk about that later as well. Let's press on with some questions in the time being, though, before we start losing pace. This one is from David, the chemist driver, and he says, "Hi, Will and Gary." It's on the text, 61025. He starts with the word talk, and he says, "Hi, Will and Gary. I'm looking for a PC that will run Flight Simulator 2004. What minimum spec do I need?" That's David, who is driving at the moment. What, do you know what
that's,
Gary?
That's interesting. It's Flight Simulator 2004 from Microsoft. It needs Microsoft Windows 98, ME, XP, or 2000. They're all different operating systems. And that reminds me how old it is. It's 2004.
I'm just going to say, so if you get a more modern one, it won't work because you actually
it
need
might a, not. And that's an older. It. I don't know. It tells you you should have 98, ME, XP, and 2000. Mm. What about Vista? It doesn't mention Vista there. So would it actually work? If anybody's out there using it, tell us, please. It has to have 450 megahertz equivalent or higher. So therefore, the higher the machine, actually, the better, the faster it will be. It has it needs to have 128 meg of system RAM or plus 64 megabyte for 98, Windows 98 or Windows ME. This is old. It's old stuff.
Do you know what it is? What, Flight Simulator? Is it a game where you pretend to land an
airplane? You pretend to fly. Mm. Yeah, and you fly under bridges, over bridges. Sounds like, what was that show? Camberwick Green?
I know there was the show I was actually thinking of was The Krypton Factor. Do you remember they used to
with
have
Gordon
that?
Burns
with
or Gordon the new Burns. Ones.
Yeah.
New one's not as good.
No, well, yeah. Do you know what? I haven't seen the new one, but I think the other one was of its time. I think if you look back at it, it'd be fairly poor. But I'm just thinking at the end, remember, they used to have to land an aeroplane on a proper flight simulator, like the trained pilots on.
I think I may have still been at school then. Had you left by then?
Still at school? What, were you working as a janitor? I don't think so, Gary.
Yeah, but it needs minimum specs. And, like, if you're going back to 2004, you don't need much memory, you don't need a very fast machine, and you actually need an old operating system. It would be interesting if anybody out there is using it on a Vista machine or something more up-to-date, just to tell us, does it work the same way?
If you are running Flight Simulator 2004 on a more modern system than those few that Gary mentioned there, then let me know. Emails come in to surgery at citytalk.fm. You can text me 61025, start it with the word talk, leave a space, it will cost you 25p plus your normal sending charge, and you can phone in 0151 708 1059 and just tell one of my glamorous assistants. It's interesting that, Gary. How would I go about, let's say for some reason a bit like that or similar, I wanted to buy Windows 98. Could I still buy it? Because clearly the big shops aren't going to sell it. They're
no,
going to sell
can.
More
well,
modern
you,
versions.
You could, actually, do you know, I'm saying you can't. I would go on to some place like eBay and just search. Because you might find somebody out there with an old copy that might be trying to offload it. So you might be able to get it, but you won't get it from a shop, and you won't get it. Well, you may get it from an old computing shop that might be in a backwater somewhere. That doesn't do the big systems, doesn't do the big computers or the newest software. They might have old stuff in the back office, just sitting on a shelf covered in dust.
I'll just go and look in the back.
Margaret,
yes. Have we got any Windows 98? Yeah, it'd be interesting. I wonder if when you did put Windows 98, or if you could now get onto a computer with Windows 98, you'd have that sort of weird feeling of nostalgia. I get this. You know, sometimes when you watch, if you ever watch that, like, police camera action from 1998 or something like that, and you think, it wasn't that long ago, but everyone looks weird. They're all wearing kind of slightly outdated clothes and slightly bigger glasses than we wear now.
Well, I used to, actually. I used to have huge glasses.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. And thick, huge glasses. They should have had windscreen wipers on them to keep them clean.
That'd be a good gadget.
And I had a bouffant as well.
Good gadget. Yeah. If you want to make a comment on anything you hear, by the way, earlier we were talking about the fact that Vodafone had abolished their roaming charges. So all over Europe now, you can apparently make calls for the same cost as if you were in the UK. Someone's texted here to say that O2 has the best deals. If you have O2 numbers, it costs £5 a month, and you can phone your numbers, even if they are in Europe, for free. So we mentioned Vodafone. It sounds like O2 are doing some decent deals as well, certainly according to that texter. So thank you for that. Let's take another question now. This one has actually come from Don. Don phoned in. He's in Wavertree. He phoned in on 0151 708 1059. He wasn't able to come on air, but he says that his grandson has sent him a CD of his band so he can hear him play. He says it won't play in his CD player, so he asked his grandson what to do. He said put it in the computer, but he's a bit foxed. He doesn't know where it goes in his computer or what to do. So why is that, Gary? Why is it that some CDs will play on a CD player and some will play on a computer, but not both?
Some are audio CDs that are being recorded as audio CDs, and they should play in most computers, but they're designed to play in a in a CD player with an amplifier and a hi-fi system, and that's what they're there for. Some CDs have been compressed to get everything on it, and that may be WAV, that's WAV technology. It might be MP3 technology, and they're designed to play on computers, not on systems, not on hi-fi systems. Mm. So what you would need to do with your computer is have a CD player. And that normally looks, it's normally in the machine, and it looks like it's where the old floppy disk used to be. Mm. Remember the days when we had floppy disks computers? Mm. But that same position would be a CD player. And it would look like a tiny little a thin letterbox about 6 or 7 inches long, and that's where the CD would be put into. And you would normally put it in where the label on the CD is facing upwards. Mm-hmm. If you put it the other way around, it won't play.
Of course, when you shut it or press the button to shut it, the first thing that should come up is after a few seconds, it is a little thing offering you a system to play
Windows,
on.
Windows Media Real Player, one of the CD programs that will run it, that will control the volume. It'll let you skip a track. It'll let you play them randomly or play them one after the other. And that piece of software should come up automatically when you put the CD in. If it doesn't, it means you haven't got the CD software on your computer. Mm. Now, if you haven't got a CD player, it's unlikely you've got the actual CD software as well. Because it really depends on how old the machine is. If it's a more up-to-date machine in the last 3 or 4 years, it's most likely to have a CD in it, because most software is downloaded from CDs, so you would expect to have a CD player in it, and it would have the software with it to run the music, to play the music. But if it still doesn't work, then there's a problem with the actual CD itself.
Is there anything you can do, like say someone has sent you a CD that won't play on a normal home stereo but will play on the computer? Is there something you can do to it in the computer to make it work on
you
a normal
could
stereo?
Probably, you could probably do the reverse, although I haven't done this, but just thinking sort of laterally, what you could do is probably convert it into whatever format, either audio format or vice versa, MP3 format, because you might want to put it onto an iPod. So you might want to actually download it from your computer onto the iPod or the MP3 player that's next to it, that's plugged into it. So you can convert sound from one routine to another.
Because I'm just thinking, you know, people often say, oh, you know, here's a CD, put it in your computer, have a listen to it. And actually, the more I think about it, I don't really like sitting in front of my computer listening to music. If I'm at the computer, you know, I want to work. I sometimes put citytalk.fm on so I can listen live, but I'm usually concentrating, writing an email, doing something, and I want to concentrate. If I want to listen to music, generally, I'm probably in the car or downstairs doing the cooking, and I want to put it onto a normal stereo.
Yeah, I listen to music through a normal stereo. Mm. And in fact, I tend not to play music on the computer, because what then happens is, and it's not true, but I just have this impression that it's slowing my machine down. So whatever tasks I'm doing now are being slowed down by the fact that I've got something running in the background. Because it would be multitasking, wouldn't it? So it's doing two or three things at once. On my machine, I'd rather it was just doing one thing at once.
I think the only thing you should play on your computer, really, is www.citytalk.fm. I think that's official now.
I agree.
I think computer scientists are recommending that.
They are, indeed.
Which is, of course, our website where you can listen live. And if you follow the links, you can get the download, the podcast of this show. We have 5 city surgeries a week, but we only do this one as a podcast due to popular demand. If you're into this, but you're having to go off to a meeting, or if you want to tell a friend about it, go to iTunes. And as of this week, we will make sure that this show goes on the podcast list again. Jay in Bebbington has texted in on 6:10:25 with a comment about the previous question about which system to use to play the game Flight Simulator 2004. Jay says, if you're using a game that's too old for Windows Vista, you can right-click the desktop icon and go to the last tab in the Properties section, and you can select Run in 98/XP, if you're trying to use it in Vista. So that may help our previous texter, who was David the Chemist Driver. Maybe, David, if you are using Windows Vista, do what Jay in Bebbington says. Go to the desktop icon, go to the last tab in the Properties section, and click Run in 98/XP.
That makes sense, yep. That would work. I can't try it on this machine because I'm actually in about 5. You know, talking about multitasking, I've got about 7 windows open, including Outlook, the texting, and 4 or 5 different window screens. So I'm multitasking here.
Thank you to Jay in Bebbington for that. And don't forget, of course, if you want to ask us a question, you've still got about 20 minutes left. So if it's any kind of technology question for Gary Miller, or indeed a comment, you can do what Jay did. Text it to 61025. Start your message, please, with the word talk, followed by a space, otherwise we simply won't get it. You can email surgery@citytalk.fm, or you can phone in on 0151 708 1059. I've got a few more questions to get through. I will do that, but before we do that, Gary, a few other things off your list of technology news, if you will, including the biggest brain on the net. I thought you were the biggest brain on the net.
Well, this was actually a lady called Alison Gow that raised with me yesterday. And Alison, thank you for this. I hadn't actually heard of it. And it's called, it's not easy to pronounce, Wolf Aram. That's wolf as in dog wolf. Wolf Aram as in sheep and ram. Alpha.
I don't think you're helping with all these different animals.
Well, no,
it's just called Wolfram Alpha.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't make sense to me. However, its long-term goal is to make, this is a bit nonsense, to make all systematic knowledge immediately computable and accessible to everyone. And basically, you can type in a formula or a question, and it will come back with an answer.
Oh, come on, that already exists on the net, surely. It's called Google, or possibly it's called Ask
Jeeves. This is actually gathering information for academics, for researchers. And if one of the examples is, how many swallows are there in the world in terms of species, right? It'd come back and tell you there's 42. Now, Google wouldn't do that. Not immediately, couldn't do it straight away. And all it's doing it is actually somebody, some sad person, is typing in somewhere at a university, in a bit like Wikipedia.
I was going to say, I mean, this sounds like, you know, that there are already ways to do this on the internet. What if you wanted to ask how many bicycles there were in Beijing?
Well, depending on which version of the song you're listening to, there's 2 different sets. I can't actually remember the numbers.
Was it 9 million, according to Katie Melua?
Then she changed it, and it was 15 million on the second release. Yeah, she re-released it again, it was 15 million.
Trying to exaggerate. Everything's getting bigger and better. Well, that's okay. So it's called Wolfram/Alpha.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, maybe it's got a more academic bent, because on a serious note, I think the problem with a lot of these things, including Wikipedia, particularly in the days when anyone could type whatever they wanted to into Wikipedia, it gets abused, it gets used for propaganda purposes, people change things just for a prank. And we're entering, I think, quite a dangerous phase in the development of mankind, Gary, where younger people in particular think the internet knows the answer to everything. And all you have to do is ask it, it tells you, and then you swallow that and go, right, well, that must be the answer, because the internet told me...
There are 42 swallows.
Yes,
species.
Very good.
Can I give you the web address?
Go
it's wolframalpha.com. I'm not doing it justice. It's got 10 trillion pieces of data. It's got 50,000 types of algorithms. It's got linguistic capabilities. It's got thousands of domains. It is actually absolutely massive, and it's almost like that old Ask Jeeves a question and it come back with an answer. You ask this a question, either in maths, algorithms, languages, English, anything from the Encyclopedia Britannica, that sort of stuff, and you can just give a fairly woolly question, it will try to come up with a solid answer. Now, it is powerful. And so I'm not doing it justice. It's not Google and it's not Wikipedia. It's a lot more powerful in certain ways.
OK, well, I'll tell you what, we'll get it up and running during the break. I might ask it a couple of questions. If anyone wants to try and ask the Wolfram Alpha a question, I'll get it up and running on my machine during the break. You can text it on the usual methods. Who knows, maybe if it's really good, we can get rid of all my experts and just ask Wolfram Alpha every single question you have. No, we won't do that.
You wouldn't get the banter.
But I will get it up and running. So if you want to try and fox it, then send us a text. 61025 is the number. Start it with the word talk, or you can phone or email it in on the usual numbers. Which are these? 0151 708 1059. That's the landline for that, or indeed any other question for Gary Miller, our gadget guru. It's 0151 708 1059. City Talk 105.9, this is the City Surgery. Here's the voice of Liverpool. The reason I'm sniggering is because we've got Wolfram Alpha running up in the studio and we're trying to ask it questions. And I've got to be honest, it's pretty rubbish. You put this in your What's Hot list, Gary.
I think it's fantastic. I've actually asked four questions and it's given me great answers.
Well, mine's gone wrong already now, look.
Yeah, but you're asking silly questions.
I asked it how many bicycles were in Beijing. It said, I don't know what to do with this information, sorry, with your input. Then I asked it, OK, I'll try something easier. How many bicycles are in the world? It said, Wolfram Alpha is not sure what to do with this input. Then I asked it, how big is the Empire State Building? Thinking that's a nice, easy one. And it said it wasn't sure what to do with my input.
I see, it depends on how you answer. Now, I asked it, how many insects are there in the world?
Yeah.
And it said 950,000. I then asked it how many birds are in the world, and the species, and it came back and said 9,956. I've just typed in my date of birth, and it's told me that it's 49 years, 9 months, and 14 days ago. That's a bit sad, actually.
How does it know your date of birth?
Because I told it.
Oh, so you told it something, then you asked it what it was.
Yeah, I said, no, you just put your date of birth in, and it tells you how many days, how many weeks, how many years, and how many months, etc. So it's just interesting. It would tell me about a town, so I typed in Liverpool, and it showed me where Liverpool was, and it told me about Liverpool, and you can put it
out the window.
Yeah, and you type in a calculation, like 250 quid plus 15%, and it'll give you an answer.
Brilliant, like a calculator.
It's got 10 trillion of those responses. Just because you chose three of the ones it didn't know, that's your fault, not its fault.
I've got to, I'm going to have to look into this a bit more, but it's called Wolfram Alpha. And it has some important things to know about it here, and it says how to ask you questions, so maybe that would help as well. We've had someone said, Rob, who's working in Newton, says, ask it how many fingers I'm holding up. So let's just try that, shall we?
Two.
Yeah, two. Yeah, I think that's fairly obvious. Thank
Very
you.
Good.
Thank you, Rob, in Newton. If anyone wants to ask Wolfram Alpha a question, then send it to me. I will ask it. But to be honest, I'm fairly sure it will say Wolfram Alpha is not sure what to do with your input. If, however, you have a more serious question, then, of course, I will ask that of Gary Miller as well. You see, this is why the traditional systems work better, Gary. Just a man with a brain like you, ready, willing and able to answer techie questions. So if you have a techie question for Gary, please do send it in. You can email surgery@citytalk.fm. You can text 61025, start it with the word talk, leave a space, or you can phone up 0151 708 1059 and I will put them to Gary before, of course, we get to his other things on his technological list as well, including this connected video and photo frame, which I must get to, and also your deal of the week, which is linked. Before I do that, though, Carrie is in Woolton, and she's texted in, is it worth buying a camcorder? Sorry, I'll start again. Is it worth buying a camcorder when every mobile phone does video now. I'm due to have a baby soon and I want to film him or her and get the key moments. Is the quality okay? I assume she means on her mobile.
Yeah, on the mobile, is the quality okay? No. It's dreadful.
Mm.
I mean, it looks all right. It will do. But you're never going to get the same quality as you would from a professional camcorder or a video recorder. You can get the Flip. The Flip portable camcorder. It's between 60 and 120 quid.
Mm.
It's in high definition quality, which means you get decent quality. You can see every pimple, every mark on your face, on the
Fantastic.
Building. Yeah. I mean, you might not want to see those things, so therefore you use your phone. But the phone is okay. But these Flip camcorders, they're designed just as a camcorder. They're not designed to also make telephone calls. They're not designed to browse the web. So the battery gives you more power. The battery and the memory gives you more capacity to store videos. So you're not competing. You're not multitasking with loads of other stuff. We're coming back to multitasking again. So a Flip portable camcorder is one to look at, but there are others. I mean, some of the bigger cameras, the more expensive cameras, have great video on them, and some have HD on them as well. And then, of course, you can spend 3,000 quid and you can buy a Canon or a Sony camcorder that will record broadcast quality, high definition film. So it really comes down to what are you going to use it for? And if you're going to show it to your friends in the bar, use your mobile phone. If you're going to put it onto the TV and show your friends what a great holiday you've had, then you go down to one of the retail stores and you buy a proper video or camcorder to record it.
It sounds kind of obvious, but no matter how good and how small technology gets, you know, you have to fit the parts in, and the more parts you get in there, probably the better it will be. And as you say, if you've got a limited space, i.e. something the size of a mobile phone, and you're offering a video facility, then it will only do what parts you can fit into it will
exactly.
allow you to do. Whereas a camcorder, which is bigger, I mean, even the posh ones are still the size of, I would say, what, you know, a couple of cigarette packets or something like that. You know, that's all camcorder related technology, isn't it? So,
one of my friends, David DeMaestre, has actually just bought a Flip portable camcorder. He uses it for interviews and client stuff, so he uses it for his business, and apparently it's perfect for what he wants. So it's fit for purpose, and it does the right job.
Do you know, we spoke about Flips on this show ages ago, probably a year ago, and I was quite excited. Then I decided to get a different one you recommended, because I was going skiing, and because I do a lot of biking, I decided to get a camcorder that you can mount on
a
bike. Yeah, I got it. I've got to say, not impressed.
You're not?
Really not impressed. No, it's called the Oregon Scientific, and it's rubbish, so I don't mind saying that.
I didn't recommend you buy that, though. It's not my fault.
You didn't recommend it.
Okay.
You told me about it, and
yeah.
I thought, that sounds really exciting. I took it skiing. The battery fails below 0°C, unless you get a posh lithium one. Now, clearly, if you're going skiing, there's a good chance it's going to be below 0°C.
So you took the cycling battery, not the skiing battery?
Yeah.
That's it? You see?
Yeah, but, you know, you don't read the small print until it matters, do you? So,
no, it matters all the time.
I looked all around this little Alpine village for a shop that sold lithium batteries, couldn't find one. I just thought it was a bit annoying. And to be honest, the keys on it are horrible, the systems are horrible, the clips are really stiff. It's not a good piece of kit, in my opinion. So, sorry about that. But, you know, just goes to show, sometimes we do often buy these things ourselves. Dave in Liverpool says, why don't you ask Wolf from Alpha what rhymes with orange? Well, I've done it, Dave, while Gary was talking there. And guess what it says? Wolfram Alpha isn't sure what to do with your inputs. This is rubbish. It says, for related inputs, try food, orange, colours, colour orange, or cities, city orange. It doesn't say words that rhyme with orange. So, yet again, the biggest brain on the internet has failed us. Gary, tell us about the connected video and photo frame that you found.
Yeah, I was checking out what's happened recently, and the E-Starling video. It's actually come out in America. It's not that particular version, unless it's just been released this morning, isn't actually available yet. But the E-Starling, that's E-S-T-A-R-L-I-N-G. You can get details from its .com website, or you can get it from Amazon.com. It's $179. They actually were one of the first to create a photo frame that you could email whilst you're on holiday, or where you're somewhere else. You could email your updated photographs, and it will actually show them at home on top of the TV, on the mantelpiece, what you're up to in, I don't know, Mallorca or whatever.
I'm trying to think of a scenario where this might be helpful, but I guess I'm thinking, let's say you live at home with your mum and dad, you've gone off to Spain for a holiday. What you can do is you can email back your photos of you having a nice time in Spain so that your mum and dad can see them in the photo frame on the mantelpiece before you've even returned from holiday.
Exactly. Now, that's one thing. Is it worth doing?
I've got to say, I think my mum and dad would prefer not to see anything that I got up to in Spain as a younger man. But there we go. It's not bad. So what's that called?
That's called the E-Styling. That particular version for the video as well. And it's very unusual to have video on these photo frames. And I keep wishing they would have video. And now they've done it. So they invented the email version back in 2006. And now they've invented the first photo and video frame. As I say, it's just come out in America this week. Has it come to the UK yet? I did all the searches and I could still only find the previous updated version, which is the photo one only. So I'm still looking out. If you can find the video and photo one, tell us about it, because America, you can get it. It's $179, and I think if it comes here, it'll be $149.
Would you want a frame that plays video? It's nice to have. I can understand why people have in the corner of their room a frame with digital pictures scrolling through at a slow speed. I think that's nice.
Yeah,
I would not want a video going in the corner. It'd put you off the telly.
But do you know
it?
If I was a business, I would. So I'd like to see maybe some of my customers or my what my products are, and I'd like to do a little corporate stuff, and I'd like to actually keep updating it every now and then, and I'd email it when I'm not there. So it could be in a bar, it could be in a club, a hotel, it could be in somebody's reception area in their office. So I could see it happening there, and it'd be really quite powerful. And it's not a small thing. It's about 10 inches diagonally across. It's quite a big screen. So it's worthwhile, I think, if you're a business user, thinking about that. And for £150 when it comes here, I think it's a wonderful thing to have at the office. And actually, there will be people who would want to consider having it at home as well.
And briefly, your deal of the week this week is not the video one, because we can't find that in this country, but you've got a related product, haven't you?
I have indeed. I'm just going to try and get to the right page here. This one is the 8-inch E-Styling. That's a Wi-Fi digital photo frame in white and acrylic, free delivery. It's got a 2 GB card with it. That means you can store everything on it. It's £147 on UDigit. That's www.udigit.com, and also amazon.co.uk for £145. So remember, that's the E-Styling. Think of birds, E-Styling, and you can get it at UDigit or Amazon for between £145 and £147.
And if you're worried what that clunking sound was, don't worry, it wasn't Gary's pacemaker giving up. It was my watch bashing against the desk while I frantically signalled to the guys in the other room. Gary, you may not be able to answer this, but I'm going to give it to you now as homework for next week and to anyone else who wants to pitch in. It's from Frank. It's a text. 61025 is the number. And Frank says, Gary, I've got a Vodafone 725. When I turn the phone on, it asks for my phone password. How can I? As I can't get into the phone. So how can he access his password if he can't get into the phone?
Try 3 zeros and see what happens. Four zeros and see what happens.
Okay, so try 4 zeros, Frank, and see if that works. And if it doesn't, let us know, and we will try and get you a more full answer next week. But if in doubt, use the old 4 zeros. That's the default setting for passwords in many factories. Coming up next on City Talk 105.9, it's normally Jimmy Corkill, but it's not. It's Roy Basnett today doing the show between 1 and 4, because poor old Jimmy's off sick. So get well soon if you're listening, Jim. And Roy is on between 1 and 4. Thanks to Gary Miller for your help this week.
Thank you.
Won't see you next because it's a bank holiday, but we'll see you the one after that. And I'll be back tomorrow with another City Surgery. It's Tuesday, so it is the return of the vets. City Talk 105.9, it's the voice of Liverpool.